Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and as an offering for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. Because the mind set on the flesh is hostile toward God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. However, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. And if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who indwells you. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Will you pray with me, please? Hebrews chapter 4 says that the Word of God is living and active and sharper than any double-edged sword, able to divide joints and marrow, judging the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Would you pray right now that the Word of the Lord would pierce your heart and change your life today? Would you pray right now for the other people in this room that the Word of God would pierce their hearts and change their lives today? Now, would you pray for me that I would preach this beautiful passage accurately? What God has said is powerful. Please help me to simply explain exactly what God has said. Heavenly Father, may your glorious word edify and build up your church today. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. As you can see in your notes, we've only got 3 or 4 cross-references today. We're going to just walk through Romans 8, verses 5 through 11. So, stay always in Romans 8. Throughout the sermon, you want to keep a finger or a bookmark in Romans chapter 8. We will never leave it. Verse 5, for those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Let's start off by explaining something. What is the flesh? The flesh is the human nature corrupted by sin. The flesh is the human nature corrupted by sin. Number one in your notes. Those who are according to the flesh are dead in their sins. Those who are according to the Spirit are alive in Christ. So now Paul is going to compare people that are in the flesh, dead in sin, with people who are in the Spirit or alive in Christ. And Paul starts out with a very important statement. Those that are in the flesh have their minds set on the flesh. Your mindset is your primary concerns, purposes, and desires in life. Your mindset is your primary concerns, purposes, and desires in life. Those that are according to the flesh, their primary desires, their primary concerns, their focus in life is the things of the flesh. Take a look at me. Take a look with me at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, behind me on the screen. But realize this. In the last days, difficult times will come. Men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. Avoid such men as these. These men have their minds set on the things of the flesh. And Romans says those who are according to the flesh, their primary desires, their primary concerns, their goals in life are the things of the flesh. What are the things of the flesh? Galatians chapter 5, 16 tells us, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. The flesh sets its desire against the Spirit against the flesh. These are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. If you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident: immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities or division, relational division, strife, jealousy, outburst of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." Romans says those that are according to the flesh have their minds set, their primary desire, their focus, their goal in life are the things of the flesh. Does this list describe you? Is your mindset on the flesh? Number two in your notes. Those who are according to the flesh are primarily concerned with pleasing themselves. Romans 8, 5. Those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. What does it look like? What does it look like when your mind is set on the Spirit? Paul gives us a wonderful comparison in Philippians chapter 3. Brethren, join in following my example. Observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us. Many walk, of whom I often told you and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their appetite, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their minds on earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven, which we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. The mindset on the Spirit is described in Colossians chapter 3, 1 through 3. Therefore, if you've been raised with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on the things that are on earth, for you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Look at verse 2. Set your mind on things above, not on the things that are on earth, for you've died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. What does it look like to have your mind set on the things of the Spirit? Jesus Christ is the perfect example. Philippians chapter 2, verse 1. Go ahead and turn there with me, please. Keep your finger in Romans. Come with me to Philippians chapter 2. If therefore there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind. Maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, let each of you regard one another as more important than himself. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Look at verse 5. Have this attitude. Attitude is the same Greek word mindset in Romans 8. Have this attitude or mindset in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. What mindset? Who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. For this reason, God exalted him, bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow, of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Chrissy, back it up to verses 2 and 3. Make my joy complete by being of the same mind. Maintain the same love, unite in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfish or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. That's what it looks like to have your mind set on the Spirit. Jesus Christ is the perfect example. Let me stop right now and ask you a question again. Romans 8, 5 describes two people, those that are according to the flesh and those who are according to the Spirit. Which one are you? What is your daily concern? What is the primary purpose and goal of your life? What are the desires that rule and control your life? Is your mind set on the flesh? Or is your mind set on the Spirit? Look at verse 6 in our passage. Romans 8, 6. The mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. The mind set on the flesh is death, says Paul. This is explained in detail a couple of chapters back in Romans 5, 12. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam until Moses, even over those who had not sinned in the likeness of the offense of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. But the free gift was not like the transgression. For if by the transgression of the one the many died, much more did the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abound to the many. The gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. For on the one hand, the judgment arose from one transgression, resulting in condemnation. But on the other hand, the free gift arose from many transgressions, resulting in justification. Ephesians chapter 2, 1 through 3 says this on the screen behind me, and you were dead in your trespasses and sins in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them, we too all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. The mind set on the flesh is death. Death reigns over the unbeliever. for his or her entire existence on this earth. Ultimately, the mindset of the unbeliever leads him to eternal death. Brothers and sisters, it pains us greatly. It should pain you greatly to see church people rejoicing in sin.
Amen.
Sin leads to death. To the Christian, sin should smell like death. It should look like death. It should taste like death. Sin should be revolting to us. In your notes, number 4, those who are according to the flesh are spiritually dead. Oops. That's what it should be. Where are we, Chrissy?
Well, you just did number 4, but you skipped number 3, so I backtracked to number 3.
I did say number 4. Number 3 in your notes. No.
Oh, you skipped number 3 completely. We were at number 4.
I skipped number 3 completely. That's what I've been trying to tell you. Number 3 in your notes, those who are according to the Spirit are primarily concerned with pleasing the Lord. I did not want to skip number 3. Thank you, Chrissy. Now number 4, those who are according to the flesh are spiritually dead. Romans 8:6. For the mindset on the flesh is death, but the mindset on the Spirit is life and peace. We just saw Ephesians 2:1-3. Look at the next couple verses. Ephesians 2:4. But God, being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive in Christ. By grace you have been saved. Jesus in John 10:10 says this, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. Amen?
Yes.
Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15:22, for as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. And again in Colossians 2:13, when you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins. The mindset on the flesh is death. The mindset on the Spirit is life and peace. It is not only life, but it is also peace. Romans 5:1. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the next one in your notes, I don't know what number it is. We'll call it number 5. Those who are according to the Spirit are alive and at peace with God. Chrissy, are we on track now?
Yes.
I'm right where I need to be?
You're where you should be.
Outstanding. You would think with the entire sermon in front of me, I could stay where I need to be, but that is not the case. Verse 6, for the mindset and the flesh is death, the mindset and the Spirit is life and peace. Why? Because the mindset on the flesh is hostile toward God. For it does not subject itself to the law of God. It is not able to do so. The mind of sinful man is death, because it is hostile to God. Hostile is the Greek word estheria. It means hatred or enmity, relational brokenness. The mindset on the flesh is hostile toward God. That is not too strong. Look at James 4:4. You adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility toward God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy with God. Paul's point is this, is there is no neutral people. Either you are united with God in Christ and you are in the Spirit, or you are separated from God in sin and you are in the flesh. Every person in the world is in one class or the other. How is it hostile to God? The verse says, it does not subject itself to God's law. Subject is the Greek word hupotasso, to place under. The mind set on the flesh does not place itself under God in humility. The mindset on the flesh lives independent of God. The mindset on the flesh is self-sufficient, self-centered, self-serving, self-loving, self-exalting. The mindset on the Spirit humbles itself before an almighty God. The Holy Spirit has revealed to that person that they are dependent on God, dependent on God for physical life and for spiritual life. Those who are according to the Spirit have beheld the glorious beauty of God. They have seen that God is holy, that God is in charge, that God is the creator. Those who are in the Spirit see God in the splendor of His majesty. Those who are in the Spirit see how good, how loving God is. Those who are in the Spirit fear God, adore God, worship God, place themselves under God in love, trust, and obedience, because the Holy Spirit lives in their heart. Amen. Next one in your notes. Those who are according to the flesh live independent of God and disobedient to God. Why are those in the flesh disobedient? Verse 7 in our passage, Romans 8, 7. Because the mindset in the flesh is hostile toward God, it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Next one in your notes. Without the Holy Spirit, you cannot please God. Why is that true? The spiritually dead person cannot understand the things of God. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says this, "The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God. They are foolishness to him. He cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned." The person without the Holy Spirit cannot understand that Jesus is Lord. Look at 1 Corinthians 12:3. "Therefore I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus be cursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit." Why can't we please God without the Holy Spirit? Why is that true? John 15 tells us. John 15 tells us. Why don't you turn there with me, please? John 15, verse 1. Why are those in the flesh incapable of pleasing God? John 15, 1. "I am the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so it may bear more. You are already clean because of the word which I've spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot," here's the key, "as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up. And they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified in this, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken, so my joy may be in you, and your joy may be full. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God, just as a branch cannot bear fruit apart from the vine. We must be connected to God by his Holy Spirit to please him at all. So, brothers and sisters, we have seen through the Apostle Paul a horrible description of those in the flesh. Their mind is death. They are hostile toward God. They do not submit to God, for they are disconnected from the source of life. The passage now, brothers and sisters, changes directions radically and begins to talk about the glorious reality of those who are in the Spirit. Look at verse 9 for a totally different situation. Romans 8, 9. However, you... However, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, but if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. Paul says, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you, then you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. In fact, Paul says, if someone does not have the Holy Spirit, they do not belong to Christ at all. Next in your notes. If the Holy Spirit lives in us, we are alive in Christ. If the Holy Spirit does not live in us, we are dead in sin. Dear Trinity Baptists, look at the riches in Christ. Verse 10, Romans 8. If Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. If Christ is in you, you have a totally different reality. You are saved. Sin is death. Jesus is life. Jesus brings life to all those who are united with him. Doesn't this verse make so much sense? I didn't read verse 11. Look at 10 and 11. If Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. Now look at this verse. Crisp, exact logic. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Doesn't that make sense? The book of Romans is the most logical, reasonable, clear book ever. In fact, you want to know something? Law schools used to use the book of Romans. You used to be able to go to law school in this country, and they would use the book of Romans to teach you law. Why? Because no other book makes its case in such a logical, reasonable, clear format as the book of Romans. The book of Romans is a masterpiece. God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. The same Holy Spirit lives in you. So the same Holy Spirit will raise your body from the dead too. Hallelujah. Amen. You will rise again, and so will I. Look at John 11 on the screen behind me. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Look at 1 Thessalonians 4, 15 through 17. According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will be with the Lord forever. Next one in your notes. Those who are in Christ have a new heart, a new mindset, and will be given a new body in the future. Those who are in Christ have a new heart, a new mindset, and will be given a new body in the future. I really want you to focus this morning on the powerful statement in verse 5. Look at Romans 8, 5. I've got it on the screen for you. Those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. This is the difference between those who have the Spirit of God and those who do not. Think about the people you know. What is their primary concern in life? What is their purpose in life? What are the desires of their life? What is their mindset? Is their mindset on the flesh, or is their mindset on the world? Is their mindset on pleasing themselves? Is their mindset on sin? Or is their mindset on the Spirit? Is their mindset on the things of God? Romans 8, chapter 9, in our passage says this, "However, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. If anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him." Brothers and sisters, the only people that are born again are people that have Christ in their hearts, loving them, guiding them, leading them, transforming them. If the Spirit of Christ is not in someone's heart, they are not saved. What about you? Where is your mindset? What are the desires, purposes, and goals of your life? What is the main concern of your life? What is the focus of your life? Is your mind set on the flesh? Is your mind set on the Spirit? Here's something to think about. What will be said at your funeral? I go to a lot of funerals as a pastor. Some I officiate, some I do not. And you all know that funerals today in our society have three components. Almost every funeral that you go to today has three components. Number one, a slideshow. Number two, testimonies of family and friends. And number three, a sermon by a minister. Here's a question I want you to honestly ask yourself today. Paul, by the power of the Holy Spirit, says, those who are in the flesh, their primary concern in life is the flesh. Those who are in the Spirit, their life is focused on God. At your funeral, what will your slideshow say about you? Will I be able to look at your slideshow if you're a total stranger? Will I look at your slideshow and say, there's someone whose primary concern was the Lord? And more importantly, what will the testimonies say about you? When the preacher stands up and says, is there anyone here who wants to come and talk about Brother Dave Gordon? Is there anyone here that wants to come and share a memory of, put your name in there? What will your family and friends say about you? If I'm sitting in the back and I'm a total stranger and I've never met you, will I know from the testimonies that your mind was set on God? That your chief desires in life were God? Or will the testimonies reveal that your mind was set on the flesh? So my question to you today is your mind set on the flesh? Or is the Holy Spirit in your heart giving you a new mindset? Our final verse today, John 1:12. Yet to all who received him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become a child of God. If you're here today and you say, you know, my mind is set on the flesh, please come and talk to me. Please come and talk to me. Receive the free gift of the Holy Spirit by truly putting your faith in Jesus Christ.